Right now, during this portion of Vocal Point, we'll be talking about Colorado's gay conversion therapy ban and this trend in general. This is not the first state, by any means, to adopt such a stance. We're going to talk about this with Peter Spriggs, and he is with the Family Research Council. Peter, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry.
You know, Colorado, I can't quite figure it out. It's the home of Focus on the Family, which helped put FRC on the map. It's the home of all kinds of different ministries, and yet they're experiencing a lot of high times there in Colorado. And you've got, you know, there's new abortion laws, pro-abortion laws, and now there's a law passed by the Colorado legislature that basically bans the ability of a homosexual who wants out from the lifestyle to convert to Christianity and be freed from his sin through that, or if they find out, they could punish the converter, I guess.
Right. It's very troubling that so many states, 18, I believe Colorado is the 18th state to pass this type of restriction upon what they call conversion therapy. The people who practice it don't actually call it that. It might be called sexual reorientation therapy, sexual attraction fluidity exploration and therapy, a number of different terms. Sexual orientation change efforts is a broad, sort of a broad umbrella term. But it's really outrageous for legislators to be interfering in the private relationship between a therapist and a client to begin with. Let alone to prohibit a particular type of therapy based solely on the goal which the client chooses. Okay, we're not talking about forcing this on anybody because there are no therapists who do that. We're talking about a client-chosen goal which is now to be illegal because the legislators of Colorado don't like it. That's really an outrageous intrusion on both privacy and personal autonomy for people who happen to experience same-sex attractions as something unwanted.
So you're born gay, they say, and once gay, always gay, they say, even if you're miserable with that.
Right. Yeah. And of course, the premise that people are born gay and can never change is false.
Yeah.
And, I've known this for a long time that the evidence showed this. I've recently done more research and written a pretty extensive paper that was just published by Family Research Council a couple of months ago. 22-page paper that can be found at frc.org/sexualorientation. And it presents the evidence from four large databases. These are four population-based surveys using longitudinal surveys, in other words, asking the same people the same questions over long periods of time. And it shows clearly that all three of the elements of what we call sexual orientation, which is a person's attractions, behavior, and self-identification, all three of those can change over time and frequently do, particularly for people who have some type of same-sex sexuality. So the whole premise that people can never change their sexual orientation has been proven to be false. And there are even prominent homosexual scholars like Lisa Diamond, a lesbian researcher at the University of Utah, who say quite plainly that it's false to say that sexual orientation cannot change. And yet, so this type of a therapy ban like the one in Colorado is not based on any kind of science. It's based entirely on ideology and political correctness.
Well, you know, I don't even understand it in terms of, like, thinking about it like a libertarian might. It's a free country. If you want out, what's the problem? I'm serious. You know, what do you only leave this lifestyle in a pine box or something?
Yeah, this is exactly the point, and I'm glad you brought up the idea of a libertarian point of view, because there are people who have kind of a libertarian attitude who are like, I don't care what people do in the privacy of their bedroom. Okay, fine, you can take that attitude. But if that's your attitude, then you shouldn't care what people do in the privacy of therapist's office either. And you can take the attitude that if a person wants to be gay, that's fine. But the fact is there are people who don't want to be gay. And those people should have the freedom to pursue the lifestyle that they seek as well. And it's not just because, you know, they've been brainwashed into, you know, believing that they're people because they have same-sex attractions. There are a lot of reasons why people may seek to overcome same-sex attractions. They may seek to avoid the negative health consequences of homosexual conduct, for example. There may even be people who are already in a heterosexual marriage but experience same-sex attractions, and they want help overcoming those attractions in order to preserve their existing marriage. They have made a commitment, a profound and serious commitment before witnesses to a spouse of the opposite sex, and they are looking for help to fulfill their marital vows. Those people, you know, would not be able to find it. Now, that's not going to be the case for minors, who are the ones who are targeted by this, but in the hostility towards this type of therapy in general,
wow,
would not even allow for that.
Well, what about all the people, and I've had several of them as guests on this program, ex-gays, and in all fairness, through the years, I've interviewed some people that walked out of the homosexual lifestyle, either as a male or as a female, and in some cases, just a handful, they went back to it, and they even renounced the whole ex-gay movement. But, you know, I look at it like this. I know some ex-smokers. Seriously, they stopped smoking. And then, darn it, they went back to smoking. I know somebody like that, then it ultimately killed him. But what are your thoughts about the ex-gay movement?
Well, yes. The interesting thing is there really is no scientific evidence to demonstrate either of the claims that the critics of sexual orientation change efforts make. They claim that this therapy never works. That's one claim. And they claim that it's actually harmful, that people who undergo it come out worse off rather than better off. Well, there's no scientific evidence to demonstrate that. In fact, even the American Psychological Association kind of indirectly in their big task force report in 2009 admitted that there was the phrase was no valid causal evidence to prove either of those propositions. Instead, what all they really have are anecdotal accounts. So you do have a handful of people who go around the country and say, "Oh, I underwent this therapy and it was terrible and it made me suicidal and it made me hate myself and you know, we can't submit anybody to this kind of thing anymore." Some of those stories are a bit far-fetched, frankly, but some of them may be sincere. There's no type of therapy or treatment, either medical or psychological, that doesn't have any potential for negative side effects for some people. But there's no evidence that this is the experience of most people. So the only evidence they have that this is harmful and doesn't work is anecdotal evidence. But we have, as you pointed out, plenty of anecdotal evidence that it does work for some people and that it's not harmful. And in fact, in some of the detailed accounts, there are people for whom it didn't work in changing their sexual orientation, but they said it still helped to them psychologically. So you know, the interesting thing is that these legislators are accepting anecdotal evidence against sexual orientation change efforts, but they dismiss the anecdotal evidence that supports it.
I understand that recently in Washington, D.C., where you live and where FRC is based, there was a freedom march of ex-gays.
That's right. And this was the second annual Freedom March. I missed the first one last year because of a conflicting obligation, but I was able to attend the one this year, and it was really quite moving to hear the testimonies of so many of these individuals who, in fact, had been part of the LGBT community. They had lived a homosexual lifestyle. They had been sexually active with people of the same sex and have now renounced that. Most of the ones who spoke, this was a very spiritual focus at the Freedom March. They were, their freedom was through Christ. One speaker who was very powerful said, it's not a gay to straight thing, it's a lost to saved thing.
That's good.
And That was one of the two speakers who were actually survivors of the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando.
Oh man!
You may recall that this gay nightclub was the scene of one of the largest mass shootings in American history up to that point, just 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, two of these men, young gay identified men who were at that nightclub, have since come to know Christ.
Praise
and
God.
Have left homosexuality and started a new ministry. So their testimony was certainly one of the most powerful at the Freedom March.
Wow. Well, let God be true and every man a liar, says Paul the Apostle. What about the issue of free speech? You know, this is going to sound crazy, but the ACLU is always so pro-gay, you know, in so many different ways. Theoretically, you would think that they would say, you know, this kind of law, in effect, forces it forces a form of censorship, a form of free speech in the therapy counseling sessions, especially if the patient wants change. Where does the ACLU or those people types stand on this?
Yeah, I unfortunately I don't think the ACLU has spoken up for free speech in these cases, but that has been an argument that's been raised. Now, the first couple of laws of this kind that passed were challenged in California and New Jersey, and those arguments were made in these court cases, and the federal appeals courts rejected that argument. But I think the whole landscape has changed on that since a decision last year by the Supreme Court on a different issue, because you may recall this case last year, the NIFLA case dealing with pro-life pregnancy centers in California.
Oh yeah,
and that they had been ordered to
advertise
for abortion.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though their whole reason for existence was to try to reduce abortions.
Right.
And in the course of the decision, the court found in favor of the pregnancy centers and against the state of California on that law. And Justice Clarence Thomas, in his majority opinion, mentioned these other cases that involved the therapy bans and the principle that had been articulated there, that somehow there is this special category of professional speech that is not protected by the First Amendment, and that if it's quote-unquote professional speech, then it's considered conduct rather than pure speech, and therefore it can be regulated by the state. Well, Justice Thomas rejected that idea and essentially said that those two lower court case decisions were wrongly decided. So that has given a lot of us confidence that if this issue of the therapy bans were ever to work its way through the courts and make its way to the Supreme Court, that the current Supreme Court might well strike these laws down. And I think that's something legislators should take into account, that if they vote for these bills, they're probably voting for an unconstitutional bill.
Wow.
And they should be a bit ashamed of themselves if the Supreme Court ends up striking it down.
Yeah, and again, it strikes me as like, wow, you know, okay, you don't like it, but why are you trying to subvert someone else's pursuit of happiness, if you will? We have 1 minute left to go. The Equality Act. If the Equality Act were to be law, then this kind of conversion, you know, therapy ban would be the law of the land, probably, throughout the whole country, I imagine.
Well, it's interesting because the Equality Act does not directly implicate this type of therapy, but I believe that the therapy is cited in the preamble or in the findings of the Equality Act as a reason for passing this bill. So it's a little bit contradictory. To me, the message is the opposite. Them citing the therapy ban is a warning of how sweeping the impact of the Equality Act will be in limiting the freedom of people who in any way dissent from the LGBT agenda. And I think it's a real threat to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and in the transgender provisions, threat to women, the privacy of women and girls in restroom, showers, and locker rooms, and to the integrity of women's sports as well, because men will be allowed to compete with women.
FRC.org for more information. Peter Sprigg, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.